Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Renee.
And we're the VCR kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. Yeah, guys, Richard isn't here. He got bored and didn't want to record and talk with us anymore. So he tagged Renee, and now Renee's going to join us for this episode. Is it my understanding that you love this movie? Is that why you're joining us?
Well, I think we had a powwow earlier, and we realized that I hadn't been on the podcast in a really long time. And so maybe this was a good time to do it. And we just recently watched the newest Matrix. So it's kind of relevant.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're doing the Matrix, the original one.
Oh, sorry. I just. Spoiler alert.
Aaron, you watched the new one as well recently.
Yeah. Didn't you? I thought you said you watched
it. I started it and I could not finish it because I hated it.
Oh. Yeah. I watched the new one. It's okay.
I think I've not been like, I enjoyed the first one. But I've never been like, oh my God, it was the best movie that was ever made. It's always been a little bit too like emo goth for me. Not emo, but like the Wachowskis visual aesthetic and their like extreme like philosophicalness was always a little bit too much for me. So I liked the first one, hated all of the others that I've seen. And so I was like, tried to watch the new one and give it an open mind, and I just couldn't do it. I turned it off halfway through.
I think the first one is good. And then my problem with it is like, I want to know how it ends, but it seems, and this happens sometimes with series like this, it just gets like kind of more convoluted as it goes on. You know, it's like, and now there's these things and this, that, and this, these, and it's like, okay. And then they kind of, I felt like they went even further down that convoluted rabbit hole for the new one. They were like, and now this is happening. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's something that's unfortunate that can happen with a movie that gets drawn out into multiple movies, like sequels and that kind of thing, is they can lose the nuance of the original movie. And it becomes like overdone. So I was really hoping that was not going to be the case in the fourth one that came out recently.
The fourth one was also the thing that really annoyed me was how fourth wall breaking it was.
There was like, a lot of
all
that.
The time.
And then I think what really got me is like the new actors they pulled in, they did a fine job. But it's not the same. Like there is just something about that group of people from the original one. Like the actor I love, but I can't remember his, Hugo Weaving. He did such a good job as Agent Smith.
Yeah.
And what's the new guy's name? He's really famous too. He was in Glee and Mindhunter, Hamilton.
He wasn't in Glee.
I think he was. Where he started. But he did a good job, but it just wasn't the same, you know?
Yeah, I didn't really believe it. In the newest one, there's a connection between the person who plays Agent Smith and the actor that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really buy that the entire movie. They tried to give hints along the way, and then it was supposed to be some kind of like surprise at the end, and the whole time I was like, yeah, I don't really buy this. But I mean, my thing is like, even if they came out with another Matrix and made like a fifth one, I would still watch it because I love Keanu Reeves. I love him so much. And I just think he's so amazing that I would just continue to watch his movies forever.
How does he compare with
With Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, Nicolas Cage is above Keanu Reeves. You didn't think I was going to say that.
No.
Oh, I definitely thought you were going to say that.
Good, 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 good. Yeah, Nick Cage is, yeah, he's the owner of my heart. Well, besides Mr. Richie Rich over here. But but yeah, I mean, I think everybody went to see the newest one with hopes that it would take them back to that original environment of the first movie and be so cool and like so fast paced and so immersive. And you had this, you had familiar faces, and I don't know if it did it, but I think everybody, I think one thing it did is it made me want to watch the original Matrix. That's what it made me want to do.
Well, here's the thing that kills me is Hugo Weaving said they never even asked him to do it. He was like, I would have done it. They never asked me. I didn't even know this was happening. So, like, they just fully circumvented him. I think what happened was they... Did Lawrence Fishburne pass away? Is that the problem?
Nope.
Oh, he didn't?
Nope.
I guess... Okay. I was like, why won't they get him...
Well, we're not allowed to talk about Lawrence Fishburne. Richard made that very clear before we started.
Did he quit acting? Or, I don't know. But they couldn't get him, I think. So then they had to cast the other guy, who also does a very good job. He's just not... He's a great actor. I've seen him in lots of stuff. But he just isn't Lawrence Fishburne. And so I think if you can't get the one guy, it would stick out even more. So then they swapped out the guy that played Agent Smith also to kind of like balance it.
Yeah, I did notice how they were trying to. There were like little mini-me's everywhere. Like there was a Trinity mini-me, and there was a, there was who? What's his name? Lawrence Fishburne. What was his character's name? It's not
coming Morpheus.
Right. Morpheus. Yeah, there was like the Morpheus stand-in person. I think it was supposed to be like Next Generation in a way, and that's why they didn't want to hit it and get the exact same person. They wanted like a newer generation of them. But I thought he did a great job. I actually preferred his performance.
Oh,
but,
really?
But you know, I mean, I mean, I agree. The original is just, it can't be topped in any way.
Well, we're not talking today about the new one. We're here to talk about the original. And so before we go watch it, what are y'all's experiences like? When did you watch this? Right when it came out?
Oh no!
Did you? No.
I think I saw it on TV a little bit when I, you know, because it came out in the late 90s, right? So then when I was like a tween and it started doing like the TV circulation, you know, like on TNT or whatever, I would like tune in, and I remember being so confused, like, because you just watch pieces of it on TV, of course you don't know what's happening. And then I finally sat down and watched the whole thing. And at one point, probably in college or maybe even after, and I was like, huh, that wasn't bad.
I had older siblings, so we watched this in 99. I think we didn't see it in the theater. We probably watched it as soon as it came out in Blockbuster or whatever. But I remember very specifically watching this movie on a couch in a friend's basement. With all everyone, like my siblings were there, like my best friends, their siblings were there. It was like all the neighborhood kids, like three or four different families of neighborhood kids, like piled into a basement room watching this on like a big, you know, bulbous TV in the late 90s. And I think I was just trying to pretend that I understood it. Because I was like, what, like probably 10 at the time or 11. So, yeah, I mean, I probably just tried to be really cool about it and acted like I knew exactly what was going on. And then I agree, like probably saw it on HBO a couple years later. But I really haven't watched it since then.
So. Yeah, I remember I think my dad must have seen it in theaters or something. He has this thing. I think I've talked about this when we did Sixth Sense, but he has this thing where like, or he did have this thing when he saw a movie and he was excited about it, he would tell me as a child everything that happened in the movie and try and explain everything to me. But then I do remember watching it on like when it came out in Blockbuster or whatever. So it was probably pretty close to, I mean, maybe not like right when it came out, but it was probably pretty close to like 99, 2000. But yeah, I think same thing. I don't think I've seen it since then. I remember like it making a really good, like a leaving an impression, but haven't seen it again.
Yeah, I remember there being like a very close tie to The Matrix and Y2K and like the whole like Y2K panic. So that, because they were like, oh, you know, this is what it's going to be like or whatever. people were so scared. People don't talk about the panic of Y2K enough. Like, we just pretended like that didn't happen. You know, we like, need
what
to...
was the whole thing? People thought computers couldn't count past 2000.
Yeah. Yeah, like they were just going to die.
Because everything was abbreviated to like 96, 97, 98. Like all the dates in the computer systems were abbreviated because everything started with 19. So they thought as soon as it flipped over to 2000 that all the computer systems running everything would think that it was like 1900.
And it would just start over. Like it shut would just, down. Everything would just disappear.
I mean, even if they did think that, like they would probably just keep going.
But even
they're not
like going to
be
banks,
like, oh, it's old.
Even banks were like, people were freaking out and like getting their money out of banks and stuff.
Yeah. Haven't you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
That was about Y2K, right?
I don't know. I've never seen
it. It was about the stock market crash. They were like, get my money out of there. And they're like, we love your money. Yeah.
It wasn't about the stock market crash, but that's fine. Let's see. Any other thoughts you guys have about The Matrix before we go start watching it?
Red pill, blue pill.
Yeah, red pill or blue pill. I do remember people making a huge deal out of the second one, and there being a lot of hype. So I do remember after this movie, there was a major following, and people got really excited for the second one.
I remember the second one being very divisive. Like, I feel like people either like loved it and were bought in, or like, that sucked.
Yeah, because they started like expanding the lore and it got more convoluted. So like if you are just following the lore and these convoluted plot lines, then it's like, ah, yes, yes, details. And if you weren't, then you're just like, And I think I'm kind of in the middle of both of those two places.
Yeah, I think I'll be honest with you. I don't remember the plot. I've seen the second Matrix, but I don't remember what the plot line is. But I do remember the aesthetic of these movies being very similar to like the Underworld movies. That was also very trendy at this time, like late 90s into the early 2000s, like wearing like shiny
black trench coats.
Yeah, like shiny black clothing.
Shiny black leather. Plastic.
Yeah, whether it be like latex or plastic.
Because Catwoman did it too, right? Like there was like a bad Catwoman that came out around this time and she did the same thing.
Was that Michelle Pfeiffer?
She had one like that, and I think Halle Berry had
Halle
one.
Halle Berry.
Like...
It was Halle Berry, yes. Yep. Yeah. It was just a vibe, you know? And I feel like I feel like people could rock that now and it would be pretty cool again. I think we should bring it back.
They tried in the new movie.
They did. And we'll see. We'll see if the youngsters catch on.
It wasn't great. I didn't like it.
I mean, everybody's rocking 90s aesthetics now anyway. Exactly. Unless you like actually roll up in something that people actually wore in the 90s, then they're like, the F is that?
It's got to be the updated version of it. Like, yeah. You know, the updated Doc Martens and the updated trench coat.
Yeah, updated Clueless is what we're working with now.
No one at work appreciated when I came in my, like, rainbow patchy Oshkosh Bagosh overalls.
Yeah, and your big floppy hat, and then you wore your chunky sweater underneath.
No, I just had hand-me-downs. I couldn't afford that. All right, we're going to go watch The Matrix, and we'll talk to y'all in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have all watched The Matrix. We actually all almost finished it at the exact same time, which is not something we are able to achieve as much now that we're all recording remote. But what did you guys think? Does this movie, was it everything you thought it would be? Were you fulfilled?
I mean, I watched it not that long ago, so I knew what to expect. So, yes.
Yes,
question Renee, mark. You said you haven't seen it since you were a child.
I know, and I was surprised by how much I had forgotten. Homeboy, who's the bad guy, I told myself I would look up his name. I did not. He's also
Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, he's in the Sopranos. He makes a great villain. He's also in The Sopranos. And
oh, you mean the human man?
Not Agent Smith.
Right.
The one who
the double crosser. Yeah.
What's his name?
It's something very Italian.
Oh, Joe Pantoliano?
Probably.
So we thought you were talking about Elf Daddy.
Yeah, the bad guy.
Mm.
Hugo Weaving.
Yeah,
Elf he's Daddy. Yeah. No. Joe P. Yeah, he's in The Sopranos, and he makes a great bad guy.
Yeah, he does.
You love to hate him in movies.
He was also in some...
In Memento.
Yeah, oh my God.
He's in so many.
Yeah, he's been in just a lot of stuff. Just a lot of stuff.
His voice is very, like, you know who it is immediately as soon as you hear that voice.
You're like, ooh, it's you, and you're not going to be good for here.
Like, yeah, really.
Whatever world you're in, it's not good.
Yeah. But yeah, I was surprised by how much I had forgotten, how many plot lines I forgot happen. But I mean, honestly, okay, so I loved the action sequences, especially as it gets closer to the end and it's like Neo and Trinity and they're in the lobby of the building. Oh man. And then in the subway, that's like,
and they just like kill everyone.
Yes. And they're
all
like
these innocent flipping people
everywhere. There's like granite murder shards. Them all. And, in the subway, that's like such an iconic fight scene. And it was such a joy to watch that. And it honestly, I don't think that the Matrix 4 is the next Matrix movie. I actually think all the John Wick movies were the next Matrix movies. And then it was Matrix 4. So this just made me want to watch John Wick again. Have you guys seen John Wick?
I saw the first one and it was upsetting.
Oh, yeah. No. Because of the dog.
Yeah.
That's,
I was like, oh, Daisy, no.
It's tough to watch.
No, Daisy.
But you have to, I mean, that like fuels everything. It's that little puppy.
I know, because Daisy looks kind of like Holly, though.
Yeah, she does. She did.
So, yeah. Ooh, I can't. I cannot.
I know. I totally get it. That's why I won't watch Pig with Nicolas Cage, because I think it's the same thing where like somebody kills his pig.
I don't
think
they kill it. I think they just kidnap it.
Oh, well, I heard there's like kind of a violent, like horrific pig scene.
Well, so anyway, that's not this
but
movie.
But anyway, sorry. I can't watch that movie for that reason because I love pigs. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, I think the action is fantastic. The fight scenes are so iconic. I mean, I think movies after this movie wanted to have fight scenes that were like that mimicked that. And there's so many times where those moves are spoofed on or redone or, you know, like kind of referenced in other action movies. So it's really, I think it's an important movie because of that. But I think the writing sometimes is so cheesy, like the whole plot line about fate and being the one and all the, I just, that gets kind of tiring after a while because it's like, we get it. You think he's the one, you know?
Yeah. It's just, and then like, it only gets worse after this one, you know? It's like, okay. Like, then there are like more people that like are in the Matrix, but they know what's up and it's because they're XYZ thing, and like then there's the other places you can go other than the Matrix. It just gets very convoluted.
Yeah.
You know, like they just needed to keep it simple or something.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the plot line can contain that much detail because it is so straightforward. And I think that that's probably why that happened, because they were trying to make everything like they tried to make the plot and the storyline more complicated than it really was. And there is definitely like a sweet simplicity with this movie. Like, you know, they think he can help them. The bad guys kind of catch on to that and want to stop them, you know, and so it's like, let the rest happen.
Well, I do think that the beginning does a very good job of like not. I thought it was very interesting the way it didn't like go into detail and like super exposition about everything. It was just like you're just kind of along for the ride and like learning as you go. And like, I will say I'm kind of the opposite of you, Renee. I think this must have made a very big impression on me when I was a kid, because I remembered like literally everything that happened in this movie. And like, it was all like stored in that like locked up part of my brain. I will say I didn't really like it this go around. Did not really enjoy watching this movie. And I think a big part of it is just like kind of just the over, it's got so many things that I don't like in it, like just the incredible symbolicism, like the over the top like mythology of like, oh, there's an oracle who can see the future and this has all been foretold and blah blah blah, blah. And it's just like so violent, like for like I don't know, I feel like some of those things just like didn't age super well. And then it also reminded me of a lot of things that I didn't like about the 2000s, like the trench coats and the cargo pants and the sunglasses and the rave music and like, all this stuff. Are just really not my favorite things in the world. Just like the whole aesthetic of it.
Something like the vibe.
Yeah, the aesthetic. Something that was hilarious to me that I don't think aged well was the fact, like, the use of landlines in this movie. Like, they really rely on, like, an actual telephone being somewhere and to, like, get in and out of the Matrix. And, like,
because it's hardwired, Renee.
Yeah, I think that's so adorable. And, like, I didn't understand how you could call the operator and get an exit, but then you had to find a landline to actually leave. And to me, that just proves that they were still set in there in like the technology of the day. Like, oh, a landline is always going to be important. People are always going to have a landline and a home phone. Well, and it's remember, like, no, they really aren't.
Like, remember at first, like the internet, you had to do the internet or the phone. Like, if you were on the internet, calls couldn't come into your house unless you had multiple phone lines.
Yeah. If someone is listening to this podcast, I'm sure that they remember that that was.
I know. It's like that guy on TikTok that's like, does Gen Z know? Does Gen Z know? It's like, do they know that, like, for real, we had a landline? Like, we had one of those phones when I was in high school. We had one of these phones where the line was so long that you could take it to another room, but you were
God.
Yes.
Yeah, the kitchen phones were like that. Yes. And then it was like a big deal when we got one that you could like pick up the phone and like walk, you know, like it didn't have a cord.
Yeah.
But then like if
it would go dead.
No, well, if you went certain places with it, you could hear other people's conversations.
And then you could have multiples. Like, you could have multiple cordless phones that would all, they were all part of the same line.
And we had walkie-talkies. We used to play around with walkie-talkies. If you got close enough to somebody's house with a walkie-talkie, you could hear their phone conversation.
Yeah, I think that's still a thing.
Yeah.
Like radio waves get interfered.
Mm-hmm. Because that's how those cordless phones worked. It wasn't like a wireless network. It was like radio.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I mean, this movie came out in 99, which the dial-up was like still pretty much the only way to get onto the internet. So
AOL.
Yeah,
AIM. I think the other thing that like really kind of annoys me about this movie, and it's not the fault of the movie, I think it's just like the way culture has developed after it. Number one, spurned a whole subsect of people who really annoy me
to this day.
All those red pillars, can't stand that. And then also the, like, I went on a big rant about this when Blue Origin launched. Is like, we're living in the time that all these sci-fi movies have predicted is like, and we're letting all these corporations, you know, go to space, and then we're going to turn into Wall-E.
They're building the Matrix.
The metaverse, which is based on a theory from a book where it was terrible, but people are like, yeah, let's do that. This is a terrible idea.
I don't think any like metaverse has ever been portrayed in like a great light.
Yeah. It's like this AI takes over and, but you know, we're making great strides in AI right now. So, it's all great. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah. All of
it just made me like
kind of
depressed.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, there was some kind of, I forget what, we were reading some article about how like people who are young today, like children today, like once they get into their middle age, like 30s and 40s, they will spend a certain percentage of their life online, like the metaverse. And like people are already like buying real estate in the metaverse, and like
companies.
NFTs are like property, like internet property. And it's just becoming a very strange time.
I don't like it because like
old, you know,
because you can like disconnect, you know, and they can't track you. You know, I mean, like
didn't mean that cell phone, don't hear anything.
Like you can kind of disconnect, you know, because it's thinking about everything you're doing, like it's categorizing you and thinking about every single thing you're doing. It will follow your footsteps. And like when I go near the, and I feel like I have my location off, but clearly not on everything. Because whenever I go near a certain Starbucks or two, it's like, oh, you're here. Here's a coupon. And I was like, well, I'm not going in there. So it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
It will be like 10,000 times worse if we were in the metaverse, because like, you know, like it would show you an ad and then it would like your little avatar would probably make a face, like an unconscious like face, and it would like analyze that.
Here's the thing also is I do spend quite a bit of money to avoid as many ads as possible. Like I pay for music streaming, we pay for like Hulu without ads, we pay for like, yeah, all this stuff for like, so I know like if I was in the metaverse, I'd just be wasting so much money on not getting ads because they drive me crazy. But also like, I mean, one of the big reasons our podcast has stopped being always every single week is I've really tried to like work on like mental health stuff this year and like disconnecting from screens and from the internet and all this stuff and like getting out and gardening or like reading a book instead of like staring at a screen. And it has been very helpful. And man, it's all gonna, I just the idea that like you're gonna have to live on, I mean, I guess I already do. I work remote, I do everything on Zoom meetings and stuff, but it's just stresses me out.
Like, yeah, I'm picturing a world where like we'll have to do like classroom stuff in the metaverse, and it makes me want to just like, no.
That's a good point.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I've gotten off social media too, except for TikTok, of course.
Oh yeah, no, of course. Take my brain, like, take all my user data.
But I don't know. Yeah, I agree about like Facebook and Instagram, that kind of thing. I think ads are going to get kind of tricky in the future, because instead of like the stereotypical commercial that we're used to, I think it's going to get a little bit more subliminal, where like the content creators that we follow and like, they're going to be influenced by certain things, and they're going to, you know, recommend products and, mm-hmm, oh, here's what I use for this. And you know, I mean, I follow this girl on YouTube and she does hair stuff and everything that she, if she says buy this shampoo, I buy it. If she says buy this water filter for your shower head, oh, I buy it, you know, off of Amazon. Because it's like, hey, this girl said that it's going to make my hair look shiny or whatever. I mean, who knows if someone is telling her to say that, if they're paying her to say that, who knows, you know?
Oh, they're 100% paying
right. her. But it's working, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm brainwashed by you. Just keep making videos. I love them. You know,
do you remember when like Sugar Bear hair gummies were like such a thing and like you could not go on Instagram or listen to a podcast without hearing about Sugar Bear hair gummies? Where'd those go? Well, you're not a girl.
There's always a new hit product that, you know, people need to be buying. And yeah.
A couple years ago, it was Sugar Bear hair, and then a bunch of influencers got in some drama over contracts with them. Like, you didn't cut me in, and you didn't have my... And now there's no more Sugar Bear hair, so...
Right. It's probably just rebranded something else. They sell at Aldi.
Right.
But a fun factoid, not to totally change the subject, but a fun factoid... about this movie is that the
we can talk about the movie.
is that the stunt double, so Keanu Reeves' stunt double in this movie, his name is Chad Stahelski, I think is how you say his last name. So he was his stunt double for the first three Matrix movies and actually was a character and acted in the fourth movie.
Weird.
Yeah. And then also, fun fact, he went on to direct the John Wick movies.
Oh.
So, yeah. So that's like a direct connection. And like, you know, Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, there's some casting that's similar between the Matrix movies and the John Wick movies. So, I don't know. That was just something I found when I was looking around. But really watching the movie, I was like, oh, cool. There is so much parallel, you know, between those two series of movies. And one has like that sci-fi 90s grunge vibe, and then one is, you know, a little bit more, I guess, like 2010 vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do y'all think this movie holds up?
I think it does. Like, my recommendation would be watch this movie, don't take it too seriously, have a great time, and then go watch the John Wick movies.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, if you take it so seriously and, like, invest... Like, I don't know that I would watch the whole trilogy all over again. Unless you're someone that's like, I've got to complete...
Quadrilogy.
Right. Unless you're someone that's like, I've got to complete this. Which is me. But, like, you... Like, this one's just... If you watch it just, like, for fun and don't think too hard, don't let it break your brain... and just enjoy it for like the fight scenes and the iconic moments, then it certainly does. But like once you start, I don't know. I'm sure some people really love the lore and they're like ripping their hair out. I'm so sorry. I just think it does a probably little too Calvin. Much. Yeah, I think they went a little too far and they didn't explain things thoroughly enough. And it, you know what I mean? Like they just didn't do that. I don't think they did it well. Like, it's interesting.
In, like, the sequels, you mean? Like in
right.
The...
In this movie, it's fine, because it's just, like, your introduction. But, like, in the sequels, I think they did too much. You do too much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's, like, it's not necessarily made for everybody. I don't know if it's very accessible. I think it does... take a certain kind of person to be all about this movie in every single way. I think there is something, like someone could find something good about it probably, but I don't know if you're going to be like all in and like a huge fan of it unless you are a certain, you, I don't know, like a certain niche.
Like I like it for sure, but like I think it just, it's not executed as well as I wish it. The later lore, this movie is fine.
We're not talking about the later movies, Aaron. We're talking about the movie that we watched.
But even
that's
this
what I'm
movie,
saying. Don't go down the rabbit hole.
Even this movie is very quick to... I mean, it's 2 hours long, and they don't really explain a lot. They don't explain like those like weird, they talk about those like weird cell things that are rushing towards the ship, like for maybe 3 seconds.
Yeah. The Sentinels.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really how it should be though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like it had the perfect level of like backstory and detail. As a preteen or a teen, I feel like this movie was incredibly influential on me. But I don't, it's such a product of its time. Like you can't like watch it now and be like, it's interesting to watch now. Like I definitely am glad that I rewatched it, but I don't know if I ever will need to watch it again. Like, I think it's just like, it's kind of, it's almost like a, like you should watch it in like a film studies class or like, like as like a history piece or something like a movies and culture kind of tie-in thing. Cause I think it is very important for that, but I do think like so much of like, it's just so over the top, like mythological, like it just like, it's beats you over the head with it. And it's, the themes are very, very simple, which is fine for this movie. I just don't understand why they made a franchise out of it. Like, it should have just stayed as it is.
It was probably just because of how much money it made, you know, and how popular it was. But I think you're totally right. I think it was a reflection of the time that it was made. I mean, the internet coming up and people had all kinds of theories about what was going to happen. And
Y2K.
They're coming true, you know, 20 years later. It didn't happen immediately, but it happened eventually. But I just still think that like relying on a payphone, I just think that's so adorable. And
quaint.
That to me is like, that's how much of the 90s is still there. You know, I mean, it reminds me of like an episode of Seinfeld or something.
And like, think about in the beginning when Morpheus like first wanted to contact him, he had to FedEx him a Nokia.
Which like, he dropped like 30 stories.
Yeah.
It's but we know it's fine. It's still probably still working.
But it was just funny because he's sitting right next to a computer and he had to FedEx him a Nokia.
Because they were tracking all the computers and the internet. Like, it was... Aaron.
And I bet you anything, Nokia paid a pretty penny to be featured in The Matrix.
All the Matrix people are using our flip phone.
The blue one with the like da-da-da-da-da, whatever that ringtone was. Iconic ringtone.
All right. Well, you can go check out The Matrix if you feel like it. It's on HBO Max right now. That's when we watched it. But, you know, wherever you want to. We'll talk to you with another movie next week. Maybe Richard will be there for this one. Maybe it will be Renee again. Maybe it'll be someone completely different. You'll never know. Maybe I won't even be here. But you'll have to find out next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
I need a post clap. I need a pre clap and a post clap.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Dot com.